My wife and I really don't buy gifts for each other. We don't practice it on birthdays, not much on Christmas. If there is something special, we'll ask each other if we actually want it. Not much of a surprise, though. And besides, in Asian families, cash is king as a gift. So what's the point of giving cash when you're already sharing bank accounts? But this raised the question between us, are gifts less meaningful if they are planned and scheduled? And if you've been in any sort of long-term relationship, you've probably encountered or you've heard of this five love languages. In fact, gift giving is one of those five love languages, one of the five primary ways in which we show love and we receive love. So it begs the question, is love more or less authentic if it is maintained, if it is maintained by routine? If you have to work for it, plan for it, schedule it, is love or the demonstration of love any less powerful, any less genuine, or less real? This evening on what the church calls Maundy Thursday, we are approaching Good Friday and Easter just beyond the horizon. In our scripture readings on this night of all nights, the last night before Jesus' death, are focused on a meal, a Passover meal, and then this strangely intimate act of bathing, a foot washing. These seem like very insignificant events with Jesus' crucifixion less than 24 hours away. The cross is the worldwide symbol of the Jesus movement. I don't see denominations having a foot on their pendant or a foot necklace. No one's doing that. So why these two acts tonight? First, we have this meal that Jesus shares, and then we have this act of washing dirty feet. Well, they show us how Jesus loves us. And then by showing how Jesus loves us, Jesus gives an example, a framework of how we are to love one another. So there isn't a special foot pendant, but tonight does have that special name of Maundy Thursday. Maundy comes from that second last verse of our reading in verse 34 of the gospel. In Latin, mandatum novum, a new commandment. Jesus gives a new commandment in those last verses. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. So how does Jesus love us? Mandatum novum is where we're going to end up, but let's back up just to set the scene. As we heard Harpreet read for us from Exodus 12, this meal is the Passover meal, a special meal to commemorate and celebrate the time in Israel's history when God had delivered them from slavery, brought them out of Egypt. It is a perpetual ordinance, a day of remembrance, and it's an annual national holiday for all Jewish people because humans, with our sieve-like memories, we need rituals and anniversaries to tell and retell the history of our lives and our people. And so for the nation of Israel, it's the equivalent of Thanksgiving, Diwali, Songkran, Independence Day, Cinco de Mayo, all wrapped into one. And it's during Passover that Jesus eats this last meal with his disciples, his closest followers who have been walking with them for the past 3 years, walking, eating, living together with Jesus. But this time, Jesus knows that this is the last Passover, that last meal, his last supper with those he loves. If you've been watching enough movies, you probably have seen the memes that are always in them where you have these last dying words that have extra impact. And Jesus has them too. He's not yet dying, but he has a message for them. Jesus knew that his time had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. What does that mean exactly, to the end? To the end of time? To the end of his earthly existence? To his death, perhaps? Yes and yes. Jesus was returning to his Father in the eternity of heaven. And yes, Jesus loved them all the way to his death on the cross. There's another meaning, perhaps, as well. It was to their end, to their completeness. to the end of each hair on the head of the disciples, to the end of the fingertips, to the end of each toe on the foot of every disciple. As a church, we often hear about God's eternal, unending love, and tomorrow we're gonna spend some more time pondering Jesus' death on the cross. So for tonight, let's see how Jesus loves us to the end, loves us to the end of our physical bodies, and what that means for that mandatum novum, that new commandment that Jesus gives. Foot washing is as ick and as squeamish as you can imagine. In ancient Near East of Palestine, slaves, servants, they were given this menial task, the task of washing the dirty and dusty feet of their dinner guests, and it was probably reserved for the lowest rank, the youngest, the newest member of staff when guests arrived. But foot washing is also mundane. I'm sure that in the last 12 hours or in the next 12 hours, you will wash someone's feet, your own. Once you started bathing and washing yourself, which should be everyone here, only you know the ins and outs of your own feet. Not your doctor, not your mother, not even your spouse or your partner. You know which one looks like a chicken drumstick and which one points the wrong way. But this intimate act, this icky act, was intentionally a teaching moment from Jesus, their teacher, from Jesus, their Lord. And Jesus wasn't just washing their feet like any ordinary house servant would as an obligation, as a chore. No, this was still in the middle of supper. So instead of teaching them with words, Jesus often used signs, miracles, healing, feeding to teach his disciples. And so he's doing the same here now, teaching them in action. And so he uses this icky but mundane act to show them that he loved them completely to the ends of their toes. Jesus loved them to the end. Jesus loves us, you, me, to the end, down to the muddy parts of our lives, the intimate parts that no one else knows. For Jesus, foot washing is an expression of humility. This lowly act of a servant also points to Jesus' eventual humiliation on the cross. Humble, humility, humiliation, all from the same root word of humus. For the gardeners that know, humus, ground, soil. Jesus is on his hands and knees, and this is how he washes their feet. As Jesus washes their feet, he eventually comes to Peter, who rejects him. Peter won't allow Jesus to humiliate himself. In Peter's mind, teachers and lords, people of respect and authority, they don't stoop down. They don't stoop down figuratively, literally, for anything. And Peter thought that he was protecting Jesus, his closest friend. But in order for Jesus to have a share with them, to be a part of them, he must wash them. There's a lot more that we can say about washing and baptism. That's a separate topic. Being washed with water, being clean. If you've never been baptized and you are interested and you want to know what we're doing with baptism, please do come talk with us, our clergy team. We have a baptism coming up in June. But that's another topic. Eventually, Jesus does wash all their feet, all 10 toes of the 12 of them. We don't know if Peter's first in line or he's last in line, but after his dramatic outburst, his feet are now washed too. But we also know, if you're familiar with the story, that in a few more hours, Peter denies knowing Jesus. Jesus has already washed his feet. He knows this already. He knows this about Peter, and he washes his feet. He washes all their feet. He washes them from head to toe. So as Jesus finishes washing, they all return to eating, and that's when this next bombshell drops. Very truly, one of you will betray me. Spoiler alert, we know it's Judas. But everyone is confused. Who is it, Lord? I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes and imagine the scene for a minute. Your feet are still a bit damp from being washed. It's dim. There's only a bit of candlelight. There's the aroma of bread, fresh bread, pita or laffa bread, which is common in Palestine. There's a smell of other dishes. There's a smell of olive oil. Maybe it's tahini. And there's this low murmur. Who is it? Who is it? Who will betray Jesus? You can open your eyes now. And as you've just been imagining that scenario, Jesus has just shown now another act of love. Now, love in action. Love to the end to all the disciples through that foot washing first. That love that is an action, this choice. But now Jesus has shown another kind of love. An embodied love to Judas. Jesus answered them, "It is the one to whom I give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." And then Jesus gives the ultimate hospitality to Judas, gives him that bread. Jesus loved Judas as well, just alongside all the other 12, and he showed that love with all his senses. These days, we're mostly used to being in the internet age of sight and sound. We primarily communicate with words, with those senses of sight and hearing. And so we focus so much on those two senses, sight and hearing. But in this case, Jesus loved Judas to the end with all of his senses. There's touch. When his feet were washed, Judas could feel Jesus' hands pouring water, his hands holding his feet and his toes gently. There's this taste of fresh bread in his mouth, maybe dipped in some fresh olive oil. And there's the smell of the bread, or maybe they're so close that Judas could have smelled Jesus, the scent of his clothes. Touch, taste, and smell, they are the more intimate senses. We can't touch, taste, or smell on the internet, not by email at least. We need to be in the same room. Love needs proximity, closeness. And that's how Judas left the meal, with his five senses all full of Jesus. The sight of Jesus, the sound of his voice, the touch of his hands washing his feet, the taste and smell of that last meal that he had with Jesus. And that's how Judas went out. And it was night. After receiving the piece of bread, Judas immediately went out into the night, into the darkness, alone. Judas is always remembered as this betrayer, 3 years with Jesus, and now defined by this one action, the one who left everyone behind to do this wicked deed of betrayal. But later that night, we also know that Jesus goes out into the darkness to meet Judas once more again. Jesus, the light of the world, went into the darkness for Judas, and Jesus continues to venture into the darkness for you, for me. The light shines into the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Jesus goes into the darkness of our loneliness, into the nighttime of our souls, into the wickedness of our schemes and the plans for betrayal. Jesus goes into the darkness to search us out. Nothing you can do will betray Jesus' love for you. No one action defines us or separates us from Jesus' love, because Jesus is the only person who can love you to the end of time, to the end of yourself, to the bitter end. Jesus goes out into that darkness to find you, to meet you, just as he did for Judas. We have this darkness of the world all around us, the darkness of our own hearts, which might overwhelm us, but it does not overwhelm the light of Jesus or the love of Jesus. So returning to my opening question, is love more or less authentic if it is maintained by routine? Love can be spontaneous, but it is much more than that. It actually might be more authentic, and it might be even deeper when we work for it, when we plan for it, when we maintain it. Those of you that have been married a long time will say that love is hard work. So as people learning to love and follow Jesus, we are commanded by this mandatum novum, this new commandment, to love each other with a love that is humble, grassroots, on hands and knees, on the floor. To love each other with a love that requires proximity, intimacy. We see and we remember that Jesus was born in human form to live among us. Proximity and intimacy, they are hard work. They require effort. Jesus commands us to love one another with a love that we can touch, that we can smell, that we can taste. An embodied love that needs physical bodies near each other. A love that goes into the darkness. Jesus showed that kind of love to Judas, his betrayer. Jesus showed that kind of love to Peter, his denier. And that is the kind of love that Jesus commands us. Who is Jesus commanding you to love? Is it someone who betrayed you? Someone who denied you? Or maybe Jesus is commanding you to love them to the end, with all your senses, with all their senses, closer, more intimately. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love God with your sight and your hearing, with your touch, taste, and smell. And love your neighbor as yourself. Amen.